Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and as always, I look forward to Monday, and our guest today is Scott Fay. And Grace Break is all about refining energy and movement and thought. And today, Scott will share with us his new book, Discover Your Sweet Spot, 7 Steps to Create a Life of Success and Significance. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. But a little bit about Scott is a student, practitioner, and teacher of leadership and business practices. His content is hewn from the experience of acquiring more than a dozen failing landscape and irrigation companies and rolling them into 2 industry-leading award-winning organizations. Besides speaking and training internationally, Scott serves as Executive Vice President of the John Maxwell team. And just to share with our audience, Scott is not only a mentor of mine, but last year or two, you know, I consider you a friend as well. So welcome again to Grace Break, Scott.
And thank you,
congratulations,
Tracy.
And congratulations on the book and the positive impact it's already having on communities worldwide now.
Thank you, thank you. It's first of all, it's a privilege to be with you. Love any time we get to do anything together. I love your energy, your focus, and I love the way you do life. So it's great to be with you. I can't even hear your voice on the phone without smiling. I mean, you bring a smile to my face. So you're just one of those people. So it's just awesome. And yes, it is amazing to me. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share this message. One time, Billy Graham was told he was a great man, and he said, "No, I'm not a great man. I'm a regular guy, but I've got a great message." And I'm really grateful for this message, and it is having an impact. And just this morning was on the phone with Phil Stenhouse over in Australia, and we're getting ready to do a tour over there with the book. And it just, you know, for a guy who's chased a mower since I was 12, it's just a little bit overwhelming, I can tell you that. So thanks again for allowing me to be with you today. It's really good to be with you.
Oh, it's great. And you and I had an opportunity to talk in December, and I call it my personal coaching hour with Scott Fay. And we were discussing the book and everything in it. And from that, the official launch of the book was January.
Yes, it was.
But you hit bestseller before the official launch. And that is amazing. And so just to, you know, tell our listeners who have not read it or picked up a copy, it was a bestseller before it was launched. So pick up a copy. And we're going to be giving away a copy of your book today. And
oh, great.
So anyone that's listening live right now, be the first caller into 347-850-8893, and I will send you a copy of Scott's book. So let's dig into this. Bestseller. And there's 3 areas, really, of the foundation of the sweet spot, and that's design, build, and maintain. But before we start going into that, tell us what the sweet spot is.
Well, so the sweet spot is a term that a lot of people use, but I don't know that people often think about really what it is. And by the way, it's the part in the book of the first, you know, the book is design, build, and maintain a life of success and significance. And in order to design your life, one of the places you have to start is you have to know what your sweet spot is. So what is the sweet spot? Well, if you've ever played baseball or golf or tennis or really any sport, in fact, the sweet spot shows up. Now that I'm a student of the sweet spot, I'm finding it in a lot of places. It's in music, and it's in the arts. It certainly is in communication and speaking. There's just a lot of places where, but it's easiest to describe in sports. So if you have, back to baseball, golf, or tennis, if you've ever connected with a ball, with a bat, a club, or a tennis racket, And you've had the opportunity, you've done it enough where you've connected on the sweet spot of the bat, the club, or the tennis racket, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when it happens, it's pretty remarkable. When you connect on the sweet spot, it has a special sound. I mean, it's a sound unlike any other time you connect. It just is. It's a special, and for it's also almost a hollow sound with a wooden bat. It's a ping with a golf club, and it's a twang with a tennis racket. And so it has a special sound. It has a special feel. And when you first connect on the sweet spot, you don't even have to look. You know where the ball is going. And, of course, to me, the punchline for the whole thing is that not only do you know where it's going, but you get extraordinary results with significantly less effort. I mean, I remember, Tracy, the first time as a kid playing baseball, you know, as a young boy playing baseball and connecting on the sweet spot of the bat, and the ball just took off. And I remember the sound. As soon as I hit the ball, it was like, wow, you know. And it felt right, and you just knew that ball was going. And as I'm rounding first, heading to second, I look over my right shoulder, over off to my right, and my buddies who are playing in the outfield are climbing over the fence to look for the ball. And I'm like, wow, was that me? You know, and then, wow, did I hit that? In other words, the first time, it catches us by surprise. And then the more we play the sport, you know, the more we play, the more often it happens. It's a numbers game. That's why we say in work, but the harder I work, the luckier I get, you know, because the good news is we get luckier when we work harder. The bad news is we have to keep working harder. If you want to keep getting those results, you got to work harder and harder and harder. It's a numbers game. And the true masters, the true champions, the true athletes, those who really rise to the top, aren't satisfied when it happens by chance. They're not satisfied when it just happens by number. The true champions make a study of it and say, wait a minute, okay, what caused that to happen? Where did I connect? Why did I connect? And what do I have to do to duplicate that? Now here's what I want you to catch, and I'm so glad we're starting the call with this, Tracy, and that is because with a sweet spot, it has direct application. When we live in the sweet spot, and like I said, it has a special sound in our life. When we live in the sweet spot, we call that harmony. And when we're not living in the sweet spot, it's discord. If you're listening to this today and you've experienced discord, it's probably because you're not living in the sweet spot. And on the other hand, when you have been in a place of harmony in your life, it's an indication maybe you're living in your sweet spot. It has a special feel. Mm-hmm. In life, we call that being in the groove, right? It's like, I'm just feeling it, right? You know, you just know. And yeah. In life, when you're living in the sweet spot, you don't even have to look. You know when you do certain things, you're going to get certain results. And then most importantly, when you're living in the sweet spot, you get extraordinary results with significantly less effort. That's the sweet spot.
And that's, you know, I have that written down in so many places now. Where am I in significance? And I'm going to ask you a little bit more questions about significance, but we have a caller in already to receive a copy of your book. Would you mind if I bring them on? And
hey, this is your show, my friend, so whatever you want to do, I'd love it. Love to answer some questions or have conversations.
All right. So here we go. Area code 704, you are going to be on. Hello. Welcome to Grace Break. I wonder if I lost them, if they left. Scott, you're still with me?
Well, we can keep right on going.
We can. Area code 740, sorry we lost you. Call back in. And as soon as you call back in, we'll take you off hold. So, okay. So as we go into in the conversation of significance, on page 5 of the book, and we're going to get deeper into the book, so we're not going to stay in the front for too long. But page 5, and potential is my catchphrase. I love anything potential. And you write on page 5, too often when leading ourselves and those around us, we unintentionally permit a space that sabotages our potential. And I've never met people who felt they achieved their full potential. So as we think about potential and the sweet spot in significance, what are some beginning tools that we can think about into success of finding that sweet spot in significance?
Well, I think it really starts with some basic things that we've heard a lot about them, but I don't know how much time we really give them. And for me, it starts with understanding your purpose and your passion and then develop a strategic plan. That's really how you get to work towards your potential. So what is purpose? Purpose is knowing who you're designed to be. And passion is knowing what you love to do. And the plan is when you strategically put the purpose and the passion together to get extraordinary results. And it sounds so basic, but I meet so many people who miss it in life. I have two friends now who grew up really good in math, and because they grew up good in math and because some of their family was involved in accounting, it was just assumed that that's what they would do. And so they went off to school. They got unbelievable grades because they were good at math in accounting. They graduated with honors. They got their CPA certificates. One of them has a PhD in accounting, and it's just the other has a master's in tax law, only to get out of school and go to an office with their stuff, and to at that point it dawns on them they're going to be inside a room and just working with numbers all day, and that's the last thing in the world they wanted to do. And they did it for a number of years when they realized it's not why they're here or what they love to do. That it just happens to be a tool that they have. And I see this I think what the takeaway is, know who you're designed to be. Who are you scripted? Who are you hardwired? What's your factory setting, your default setting? Who are you when people aren't putting their expectations on you? Who are you in your rawest form, if I can just say it that way? And then what do you love to do? And then begin to strategically. There's a lot of people who don't believe that they're either worthy or even able to do what they love to do and to do it, you know, professionally. But when you're in that spot, it's amazing. And that's when we say you can't tell the difference between work and play. It's an amazing place to be. So I don't know if I'm answering your question specifically because page 5 is also about is about putting yourself in the right environment. And so that's the second half of really the answer. One is knowing who you're designed to be. And then secondly, then once you know who you're designed to be and what you love to do, the plan, the strategic plan part of it is then putting yourself in the right environment. We talk about, you know, an acorn and the difference between growing into a mighty tree or just dying as a little acorn and falling apart. It's all about environment.
And this is so true. So I think, yeah, the tools, it's the basic things, and I think a lot of us, we hold back because we think it should be a lot more complicated than what's set before us. But
yes.
Once we start going through those questions and figuring out, and I love how you said, know who you're designed to be, your factory settings, it's really okay to ask those questions. And we're fearful, especially Western society, that, we need to follow what everybody else is doing. And it's really okay. But if we look at those who are the top 1% of entrepreneurs, they're not following any other preset conditions other than who they were meant to be. And they break the mold every time. You know,
every time
they're breaking the mold. Those who are in the top 20% of their fields, they are consistently breaking the mold and doing what others are unwilling to do, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
I love the story, and even people who maybe aren't connected as I'm a person of faith, but I think most people know the story of David and Goliath. You know, I mean, it's a pretty well-known mm-hmm. story. And what's interesting about the story of David and Goliath of the Old Testament is that, you know, David was a shepherd boy who was really a warrior as a shepherd boy. You know, he fended off all kinds of animals to protect the sheep. And so he goes down, takes some lunch down to the boys at the, you know, in the his brothers in the army, and the army is being taunted by this giant Goliath, as the story goes. And David said, well, you guys are warriors. Why are you putting up with this stuff? This is ridiculous. I mean, and he's just dumbfounded. And they said, but look how big he is. And he said, well, he's so big you can't miss. I mean, he just was dumb. And so here's the picture. He says, okay, well, let me at him. And they said, well, wait a minute. If you're going to be a warrior, this is what a warrior looks like. And they began to dress him up with armor. And it wasn't just any armor, by the way. It was the king's armor. It was the best armor money could buy. The joints had ball bearings, and the metal was all stainless steel. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was high-tech. It was the best. And he put that stuff on, and he said, this is the kiss of death. I can't even move in this stuff. And David, and I don't mean to be, you know this, my wife always cringes when I get to this part of the story, but it's just the truth. He said, get rid of this armor. Here's what I need. Give me my loincloth, my slingshot, and 5 stones. That's all I need. And I know that's a graphic picture, but that's what David wanted. He didn't need all that stuff. And I don't care what you call, what you say a warrior looks like. This is how I do battle. And David got rid of that armor, and he went off and fought Goliath, the loincloth, the slingshot, and 5 stones, and won the victory. And in our life, it's so easy to put on somebody else's armor because it looks good. It's expected. It's what everybody thinks it should be, and it's a kiss of death.
And that's so true. And it's that law of environment in being in the right place at the right time and also not waiting for the perfect conditions.
Yeah.
So many of my coaching clients are always waiting for the perfection before they step forward. And you know, to get into that sweet spot and significance is we just cannot wait because then we'll continually be waiting. So
Tracy, have you ever considered? I'm sorry.
Yes,
well, I know we got to be mindful of time, so I don't know if you want to spend a moment there or not, or you want to keep moving. Cause
yeah, let's go.
Well, if you've ever considered that acorn, you know, when you talk about being in a perfect place. If you take an acorn and put it in a place that's safe, protected, and controlled, like a shelf in your house is safe, protected, and controlled, right? It's pleasant, mm-hmm. it's safe, it's all those things. It'll just sit there, and 20 years from now, if it's still around, it'll just be an acorn. But if you take that same acorn and put it in an environment conducive to its growth, not safe, not protected, not comfortable, but conducive to its growth, we know it turns into a mighty oak tree. And everybody says, oh, yeah, that's really mm-hmm. true. But have you ever really thought what that environment is? I mean, that environment that's conducive to its growth is the antithesis of safe, protected, and controlled. It's down in the dirt. It's in the mud. It can be very cold. It can be very hot. The sun can beat out. The rains can come. It's muddy. It can be all kinds of things. In fact, it's even kind of a requirement that from time to time, animals will come along and do their business on it. And again, I know that's a little graphic, but that's what it takes
mm-hmm.
for that. Now, in life, see, we try to put ourselves in a place that's safe and comfortable and controlled. And we get all upset if life kind of gets muddy or if it gets a little hot or if it gets a little cold. And we get really upset when we feel like people are doing their business on us. You know, I mean, it just really gets us. But you know what? And here's the thing. As leaders, as young leaders, what's unfortunate for us is unlike the acorn, we have the ability to remove ourselves from that environment that's conducive to our growth and literally put ourselves in a place that's safe, comfortable, and controlled. And every time we do, we sabotage our own personal growth. when in fact, if we would allow ourselves or give ourselves permission to stay in that place that's conducive to our growth, as opposed to being in a place that's safe, comfortable, and controlled, then we can become a phenomenal leader. We can have great influence. And most importantly, we get great results in our life.
And I love the acorn analogy, and that's also on page 5. But, yeah, we just have to think about even nature. In a perfect environment, there's no growth.
Right, right.
So it's push yourself out there. So this takes me to page 67 in the book, and I'm going to take this quote a little bit out of context, and I'm not going to tell the story wrapped around it. And it's your own personal story in having to make some mid-course adjustments. And so here's the statement. Rather than react to the annoying interruption to some point in the day, I chose to intersect the issue and address the disturbance before it happened. Although I couldn't control the environment, I could control myself. And as we think about the sweet spot and the significance of success, personally and professionally, be control yourself.
Yes.
Where does that take us in that planning for significance in the control of ourselves?
You know, it's a wonderful thing when you can begin to exercise not only your IQ, your intellectual intelligence, but your EQ, your emotional intelligence. And when you can control yourself, you know, and I do, I tell a story of an environment that was could have been very disruptive. And I had to address the situation for everybody else. But Paul Martinelli reminded me first, wait a minute, if you don't get it under control for you first, you're never going to lead the 700 people in the room where they need to go. Now, as leaders, leading means you're out front. Leading means you're visible. It's leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And there's nothing that absolutely sabotages our leadership more than when our life is not congruent with our message, when the words don't match the music, when the audio doesn't match the video. And so we have got to, you know, walk the walk. We've many, many times that's constraint. That's making sure that we are our actions are on purpose. And when we get ourselves in the right place, then we can lead others to where they can be in the right place. It's every one of these truths, I just shared this yesterday. I'm so proud of this message because it's not mine. It's messages that have been given to me by other great thought leaders and some of the world's highest producers. So when I say this is an awesome message, this isn't about me. These are lessons I've learned from awesome leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is an awesome, awesome truth. And it comes from the idea that in everything in life, because of the law of polar opposites, there is a truth that I lay before you both a blessing and a curse. It's your choice. You know, the law of polar opposites says you can't have an up without a down. You can't have inside unless you have an outside. You can't have a good without a bad. You can't have a bad without a good. John Maxwell says you can't have an opportunity without a problem, and you can't have a problem without an opportunity. And when you get to the place where you understand that, so you have a great idea, which is a wonderful opportunity. It really helps to know that with every opportunity comes problems. And, oh, by the way, when a problem shows up unannounced, it really is a great awareness to know that with every problem comes an opportunity. You have to look for it. So this is that's the practical application of a theoretical, you know, of a thought. The thought is, well, I've got to control myself. The practical application is, okay, when I have a problem, what will I do to look for the opportunity? And to be proactive, when I have an opportunity, what will I do to proactively look for the problem? Because trust me, they will show up. It's so much more helpful to build in margins, to have a backup plan, to be prepared so that every, you know, because we do life, a lot of times when we plan it with, you know, where it's picture perfect. I think you used the word sterile a few minutes ago, or maybe I did, but you know, where everything is just perfect, I think is the word you use, perfect.
Yeah,
and
you just...
Life isn't perfect.
It's not. And it's, for me, it's the bigger blessings and opportunities and success have come out of the imperfection.
Oh, every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
And you talk about problems and opportunities. In a previous corporate life, one of my clients was Walmart. And logistics and customers and, you know, over 1,000 distribution centers, there was going to be problems. But when you called and talked to anyone in that organization, anyone, from the floor to the top, you did not call and say, I have a problem. It would be, hey, Scott, I have an opportunity today. And that's how we started the conversation. And that, for me, was one of the best teaching and learning tools to cut my teeth on. It's, you know, it's
sure.
That mindset. If we look at everything as a problem, that's where our attitude is going to be. So everything is an opportunity. So then we go into, and, you know, time, we've got 3 minutes left. And do you have any last minute before we go into page 117?
No, let's go to 117. That'd be great.
Okay. So page 117 is... a story that Scott has put into the book, and for me, with his, and we just briefly touched on what Scott has in this book. Scott has also designed a life plan coaching system through here as well, and maybe next time you're on the show, we can talk about life plan. But this particular story you have in here just touches my heart, and I know it's going to touch our audience today too, because it's the finalization of significance in leaving our legacy here. So if you wouldn't mind, read this section of the book.
Sure. So where would you like me to start, Trace?
Right at A Man Once Asked.
So I know we're tight on time here, so a man once asked, when is the best time to plant a tree? And his friend replied automatically, 20 years ago. Regretfully, he realized he missed that particular goal. Well, when's the second best time, he inquired. And his friend replied, today. Today is the best time. And so it is with legacies, yours and mine alike. If you've never intentionally started maintaining your legacy, today is the second best time to begin. And it's so true.
I love it. And to obtain, as you talked about earlier, extraordinary results with less effort, it's to schedule, plan, execute, make mid-course corrections, and there you have it.
Absolutely.
Really short.
Tracy, thank you for letting me be on this program with you.
Oh, thank you again. And as always, Grace Break has covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. So, friends, that means that this is all the time we have today. But if you want to know more about Scott, his book, Discover Your Sweet Spot, his life plan program, or invite Scott to come speak, go to scottfay.com or thesweetspotsystem.com. And as always, gracebreak.com will have all of the links there. Scott, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today.
Thank you, Tracy. Love being with you.
All right. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.